My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting page 196. When praying to God, we must have such firm, unshaken faith that doubt in anything would be difficult and even impossible, and therefore we must have inscribed in our hearts the words, "With God all things are possible," St. Mark 10, chapter 27, verse. We must also have the lively assurance that God fulfills everything, that His being is love and mercy, that His business, and as though His nature, is to create, to give, to forgive, to be bountiful, to fulfill our requests, and all things whatsoever ye ask, shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive, St. Matthew 21st chapter 22nd verse, and St. Mark 11th chapter 24th verse. Also, we must carefully watch our heart, that it should not lie, that every word should come out of its depths. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. That is, we must be most careful of the truth of the prayer, of that sincerity which makes all the words of the prayer composed by others our own words, and which esteems every word as true. Be zealous after love. All things shall pass away, but love shall eternally remain, as God Himself, who is love. Life is a great experimental science. Nothing is more difficult than to pass through this science, this narrow way, and these narrow gates. And those who have not learned, either through their mother's teachings or at school, have to have faith in God and the fear of God and to lead a pious life. Those will find it especially difficult to study in the school of life. Often he who was found clever and learned in school of sciences, who was greatly esteemed for his abilities, shows himself to be ignorant in the school of life, and not only this, sometimes useless for anything, either for family life, either by reason of his intractable character or his ungovernable heart, or for social activity. He is in distress and not unfrequently suffers shipwreck in life, like a vessel loaded with a heavy cargo and allowed to put to sea during a storm without rudder, sails, and riggings. Remember, being endowed with speech, that everything was created by the Word and exists by Him, and have undoubting faith that creation or change through the word of your mouth by the power of God is the most ordinary matter. Have therefore the highest respect for the word and do not use it in vain. Above all, do not use it as an instrument of falsehood. The Lord will condemn those who speak falsely. O my God, the world of spirit and material world are created and exist by the Word of God, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is an incomplex being, a spirit of oneness, worshipped in the Holy Trinity. When asking various blessings of God, believe that God is all to all. If you ask health of Him, believe that He is your health. If you ask faith, that He is your faith. If you ask love, that He is your love. If you ask peace and joy, that He is your peace and joy. If you ask for help against visible and invisible enemies, that He is your all-powerful help. Whatever blessing you would ask of Him, believe that He is this very blessing, as well as every blessing, and if He finds that this blessing will be profitable to you, He will be this blessing for you. God shall be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 28, verse. The word in the mouth of some is spirit and life, whilst in the mouth of others is a dead letter. For instance, during prayer and preaching, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. St. John 6, chapter 63, third verse. Such should actually be our words too. For we are images of God, the Word. As the body breathes by means of air, so the soul breathes by means of God's mercies. If a father and mother look upon it as a ordinary, natural, and necessary matter to daily give their children bread or fish, this our most common food, and do not give them a stone instead of bread or a serpent instead of fish, though they are evil by nature, then how much more, how infinitely more bountiful is our Heavenly Father, who is true goodness? How much more shall He give good things to them that ask Him? St. Matthew 7, 11th verse. As there is a most abundant quality of waters upon the earth, oh, come and freely draw of them and drink of them, so the Lord is like a deep spiritual ocean of living waters. Let each one come and draw the spiritual blessings by means of true, firm, and unashamed faith. Only stretch out the spiritual vessel, and you shall unfailingly and abundantly receive of the water of life the forgiveness of sins and peace of conscience. But fear, doubt, it will deprive you of the means of obtaining every mercy of God. If you have not firm, unashamed faith in the most merciful and almighty God, do not hasten to pray to Him to grant you any blessing. Otherwise, the devil will strike and wound you with incredulity or unbelief in the possibility of the fulfillment of your prayer, and you will go away from before the face of God ashamed, despondent, and gloomy. Do not be heedless, but just sit down. Count in accordance with the Lord's words your spiritual estate, or measure your faith. Whatever you have sufficient to finish it, lest the demons, seeing your want of calculation, begin to mock at you, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Thus, before praying, reckon the degree of your faith, and having found it sufficient, lively, firm, and unashamed, come boldly into the throne of the grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. As in material world, God benefits us through the sun lighting and warming us and the earth with all its fullness, through air, water, plants, and animals, so also in the spiritual world, the Lord directly benefits us, enlightening our minds and hearts, interceding for us, saving, forgiving, and protecting us by His grace. Here also, through His ministers, He benefits us still more through the medium of His servants, the angels, called ministering spirits, through the medium of His saints, and especially through the medium of the most exalted of all creatures, His most pure Mother, through the patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles, hierarchs, martyrs, venerable and righteous fathers, the men, and all the saints. Those holy beings are the servants of God for our salvation. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? They are the resplendent mental rays of the eternal Son of the righteous God. How then shall we not call upon them to help and intercede for us? These blessed beings who have received from the Lord Himself grace to serve for our salvation, how shall we not render them due reverence and gratitude? Would it be in conformity with the laws of even human social life and propriety? Lutherans say, Why should we ask the prayer of the saints for ourselves? We pray to God himself. But they contradict themselves, for why do they ask a pastor to pray for them? They might as well pray without a pastor. If anyone has an equal access to God, and we have no need of any sanctified supplicants. What blindness! They say that by praying to the saints we worship idols. This is untrue. We do not pray to any saint as we pray to God. We only ask his prayer for ourselves. Is there a shadow of idolatry in this? In the same manner as we ask God's living ministers and suppliants to pray for to him for us, so likewise we ask the heavenly suppliants, who from their love to God have great boldness before him. Besides this, very many of them, even when they lived here on earth, were already suppliants and intercessors before God for the world. There, in heavens, this activity of theirs is only continued, has attained greater dimensions, and is especially powerful because it is no longer hindered by the heavy and inert flesh. O, the saints, though they have finished their earthly course, yet live, for he is not a god of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. St. Luke 20, chapter 38, verse. Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. St. Luke 1, 28. Thus does the Holy Church invoke the Most Holy Virgin, the Mother of God, but the Lord is also with every pious soul that believes in him. The Lord's abiding with the Virgin Mary before she conceived the Savior is not a particular need proper to the most pure virgin alone. The Lord is with every believing soul. The Lord is with thee. These words may be said to everyone who keeps the Lord's commandments, and the Lord is near unto all. Only men themselves are far from him by their hearts, by their thoughts, their intentions, and the inclinations of their hearts, as well as by their words and deeds, which are contrary to the law of God. Lo, I am with you always, says the Lord, who was born of the Most Holy Virgin, even unto the end of the world, that is, with every one of us at every time, throughout all generations, all ages, upon the whole space of earth, unto the end of the world. I am in God, God with God, before God, under God. He is my life. For my bodily life, he has diffused air and water. He provides food, whilst for my soul, he himself is everywhere present and fills all things. He himself is air and meal and drink. I continually stand and walk and sit and sleep and eat. And whatever I may be, I'm always and in every place in God. The first is an image of the second. In order to breathe, it is necessary to keep the mouth and nostrils open, for the life of the spirit prayer is necessary. In order that the prayer should be sincere, should wholly embrace the soul and be concentrated, it is necessary to watch the heart, to gather together, or fix the mind and the heart upon God alone, to entirely renounce every falsehood, double-mindedness, and all earthly attachments. The greatest continual error of our heart, against which we ought unceasingly to struggle during our whole lifetime, at night, in the morning, and during the day, is the secret thought that we can be anywhere and at any time without God and outside him, even for a single moment. We must unceasingly strengthen our heart in God, from whom it is continually mentally turns away, and great progress in the Christian life would be attained by him who could sincerely exclaim with Hannah, the mother of Samuel, my heart is strengthened, rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. It is necessary to remember that God is the living God, giving life to all, that the mother of the Lord also lives, and that the angels and the saints likewise live, and that they hear us in God. Praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 1:20. The Holy Ghost is the air to the soul, and Christ is a living, life-giving food. They are inseparable, the Spirit and the Son. As the air and food are equally necessary and inseparable from each other, so likewise the Holy Spirit and the Son are inseparable in themselves and in their actions in us, whilst God the Father acts primarily and beneficently through Son and the Holy Spirit as their origin and cause. Those who touched the Savior's garment were made whole. Why is it that those who employ holy water with faith are even now healed? Because the cross immersed in water with the prayer of faith is as though the living, life-giving Lord himself, as the Savior's garments were penetrated with his life, so also the water in which the life-giving cross is immersed is itself penetrated with life and thus becomes healing. Nothing is nearer to us than God. He is the God of hearts, of the very hearts and the heart. It, in its turn, is nearer than anything to us. It is the whole man, the hidden man of the heart, as Apostle says. I was on my way to Matins. The sun was in the east and was reflected in a lantern hanging on the post. The reflection was so full and bright that it was impossible to look at it, as it is impossible to look at the sun itself. I thought to myself, if the material created sun is reflected with such a fullness of radiance in the transparent glass, then is it not the mental and uncreated Son, God, reflected in a human heart, pure but from sin, proceeding from its dark origin? Is he not resplendently reflected in the saints, who, for the sake of union with him, out of love for him, cleanse themselves here from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, reflect, perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Yes, he is resplendently reflected in the souls of his chosen ones, and these pure souls, these images of God, like the transparent glass, shine forth like gold in the sun, like diamonds in the purest water. But they shine for God and the angels, not revealing their brightness to men, although at times, by God's ordering, they do shine even for them, by the light of their faith, their virtues, when necessary, similar to a candle put on a candlestick in the room and lighting the room with all those who are in it. Also, if the created sun is reflected in the glass of a lantern, then is it not the uncreated mental sun wholly and essentially reflected in his most pure flesh and blood on the altar of the Lord by the action of the life-giving Holy Spirit? Yes, it is reflected with all its light and all its love, so that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. St. John 6, chapter 20, 56 verse. The body and blood are most holy Christ himself. In prayer, they are petitions in opposition to our proud flesh, which ascribes everything to itself, thanksgiving in opposition to the insensibility of our flesh to God's innumerable benefits, praise in the opposition of the carnal man, seeking praise for himself alone. Prayer is the proof of my reasonable personality, of my likeness to God, the pledge of my future godliness and blessedness. I was created from nothing. I am nothing before God, as having nothing of my own. But by the mercy of God, I am a being endued with reason, with a heart, with free will, and by my reason and freedom I can, by turning with my heart to Him, continually increase in myself His infinite kingdom, increase more and more His gifts in me, draw from Him as an ever-flowing, inexhaustible source, every blessing, both spiritual and material, especially spiritual ones. Prayer insists in me that I am the image of God, and that by the humble and thankful disposition of my soul before God, and by my free will, I infinitely increase in myself the spiritual gifts of God, that I can thus infinitely improve myself and can increase to infinity my likeness to God, my heavenly blessedness to which I am predestined. Oh, prayer is the sign of the great dignity with which the Creator has honored me, but at the same time it reminds me of my nothingness. I am of nothing and have nothing of my own. Therefore, I ask God for everything, and of my most high dignity. I am an image of God. I am made godly. I may be called a friend of God, like Abraham, the father of believers. If only I believe undoubtedly in the existence, mercy, and omnipotence of my God, and strive to become like unto Him during this life by works of love and mercy. Constant fervent prayer brings us the most sincere and firm conviction of the immortality of our soul and of the bliss of the future immaterial world. For we derive all the delights of prayer from the God the Spirit. We borrow all the power of prayer from Him, and also by His grace from the Mother of God. It is she who saves our souls from misfortunes, who gives us peace, joy, and new life, and from the angels and saints. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 16, verse. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 7:11. Brethren, be attentive and reverence the Holy Spirit ever dwelling in you, and remember that the mystery and wonder of your resurrection from the dead shall be accomplished by the same Spirit who now dwelleth in you by the grace and gift of Christ, through baptism by water and the Spirit, through repentance, and especially through communion of His life-giving mysteries. God is truth, and my prayer should be truth as well as life. God is light, and my prayer should be offered in the light of the mind and the heart. God is fire, and my prayer as well as life should be ardent. God is perfectly free, and my prayer should be the free outpouring of the heart. What riches there are in a human spirit. I have only to think of God, only to desire a hearty union with God, and He is immediately with me. Neither the walls of a house, nor the bars of a prison, nor mountains, nor gulfs shall hinder this union. God is immediately with me, likewise the angels and saints. With God, they are all before my eyes, close to my heart, as the nearest of friends, as those who are akin to me. Oh, the riches of a human spirit. The spirit is so simple that it passes through every spiritual and material being, through all reasonable being, and through all creatures not endued with reason, through the heavenly bodies, the earth, and all its organic and inorganic bodies and is not in the least limited by them, being always higher than them and quickening them as the Spirit of God, or it is easily passes through every kind of matter without quickening it, such as mountains, stones, walls, or buildings, as if there was no matter whatever there. God is such, as though there were no other spiritual or material being at all, and therefore I can always truly say that I am always with God, or as though there were only God and myself. Thou art with me, says the psalm singer. I am with thee. Acts 18, chapter 10th verse. When praying fervently, either standing or sitting or lying down or walking, and being sometimes suddenly visited by the Spirit of God and hearing his voice, we notice that he penetrates into soul, not through the mouth, not through the nose, neither through the ears, although the Savior bestows the Spirit through the word and breathing, and although faith comes by hearing, but straight through the body, into the same matter as God passed through the walls of the house when he came to the apostles after the resurrection, and acts suddenly like electricity and more rapidly than any electric current. Then we feel unusually light, because we are suddenly freed from our burden of sins, the spirit of contrition for sins, the spirit of devotion, peace and joy visits us. Remember how the angel appeared in the shut-up prison in order to deliver the apostle Peter. The doors were shut, and the keeper standing before the doors, but the angel suddenly came upon him, and at the same moment a light shined in the prison. Acts 12, chapter 7th verse. Thus, the Spirit of God suddenly visits the chamber of our soul, the body, and the light shines in it.